There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
We're talking about Ramadan health. We're talking fasting, sleeping, exercise, and how to stay safe during the holy month. Joined by two fantastic experts, we've got Rashid Al-Tamimi here. He's a senior presenter at the Sheikh Mohammed Center for Cultural Understanding in Dubai. It's a non-profit organization that works to increase awareness and remove the barriers between different cultures here in the UAE. He's here to promote Emirati culture, customs, religion, and educate visitors and residents alike. Welcome, Rashid Al-Tamimi.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for being here. And Dr. Farhana Benluta has joined us. She's consultant of internal medicine at the Imperial College London Diabetes Centre in Abu Dhabi. Spent her early career in the Republic of Ireland and developing interest in the elderly, diabetes, obesity, disease prevention, public health awareness. And she leads the Health Education Forum over there, sharing all sorts of things about diabetes management. You're just saying off air, you get people messaging you with, you know, doctor, tell me about my blood sugar. What should I be doing?
Yes.
Non-stop job.
Ramadan Mubarak to all and all the listeners. I'd love it if we have calls as well, so we'll have a lively discussion.
Absolutely. And we want you to join the conversation this afternoon. And you came laden down with beautiful dates for us this afternoon.
Oh, that's the least we can do.
So tell us about the dates that you brought in.
So what I brought in is khlas dates. They're considered the highest quality and
definitely.
And it's the sweetest.
And it's the easiest actually to buy and take away any destination that you go because they are sealed very well.
They're almost like vacuum packed.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So
amazing.
How do you get them out of the vacuum pack, and then how do I store
describe
them?
It. Yeah. We were just telling Tom how to do it.
Yeah, that's the culture side, as she said earlier, Dr. Farhana. Basically, you just have to, with the scissors.
Just cut
the scissors from the side and just peel it.
And you have to separate it, each one, and then put it into a bowl.
You can put them on the whole junk and just put them on the whole container, and that's it. And it's easier.
And how is Ramadan treating you so far, Dr. Farhana?
Well, we've been busy. It's going fast, though, isn't it?
It really is. But I'm not fasting, so you tell me.
I feel it's going really fast as well. It's really, really good. You know, it's very positive.
Definitely. I just love Ramadan this year.
He always loves Ramadan anyway, and he'll tell us about his stories.
Absolutely. And definitely, as you said, Dr. Farhana, Ramadan, it's a special month for us, for all the Muslims all around the world. It falls in the ninth lunar calendar. And as you know, that's the calendar, Hijri calendar, which is Islamic. And definitely we actually gather as a family and bound together as well. This is the month that we spiritually pray and read Quran as well. We do a lot of charities and help a lot of people from all around the world. And even especially the people who lives here, like laborers and others who is in need.
So in terms of Ramadan bringing you together in Islam and as a brotherhood of spiritual and understanding, what does it mean to you as an individual?
It means a lot. For me, I would go beyond. For example, I come from a family that we have a lineup outside our house where we have the laborers or the people around us here, and before breaking the iftar, you see them lining up where we cannot even park in front of our dad's home, and
because they give away haris or biryani.
We give them absolutely, just as you said, haris, laban, rice, all this kind of food, and as well they would give them some.
So where's your location
again?
I was about
to say, can you drop me a pin? Please,
yeah, exactly.
Rashid?
Yeah,
that sounds amazing.
That's secret.
And what about you, Dr. Farhana? What does it mean to you spiritually?
It's a very special month. You know, that's where you reconnect with yourself and your family and the society as well. So that's that. And everything just tones down. So that's what I was just saying to Sonal, that, you know, everything just tones down, that you need to focus on yourself and your mind and your soul. And everything is heightened. Right, so you feel, or it could be the opposite, you know, where people haven't had their suhoor and they get upset or whatever. But this is a way to discipline ourselves, and actually, it's a new start. You know, some people want to, stop smoking, become more healthy,
self-control.
Yeah, and they're like,
absolutely, time to set some intentions.
And they're like, oh my God, I haven't seen my other relations. This is a time that we could just reconnect. And
absolutely.
Yeah. So,
and what does a typical day look like for you, doctor, in terms of waking up?
Why are you asking me that
because
question?
Because I'm intrigued.
You don't want to know.
I do want to know the life of a doctor during Ramadan. Waking up, what do you eat? You go back to sleep and then tell me. I want to know everything. Tell me what time you're waking up normally.
Well, it'll be before Fajr prayer. So it'll be like around 3 o'clock so I can have suhoor. Depends on the suhoor.
What will you eat?
Well, if I eat late, I don't eat anything. So I just drink water or have my green juice. That's what I do. So I just need my minerals and stuff because food is still being digested. Mm-hmm. If you remember that we are probably fasting about 16 up to 18 hours. So you mean it doesn't get the food is not going to be digested enough. So
so a smoothie or a juice would be a good thing to have if you still ate late into the night.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. That's fine. But it depends on the person and their digestion and what their health condition is. But for me, that is enough for me. And drink water and then, you know, some prayers and then a Fajr prayer and then, you know, some prayer again. And then you sleep a little bit. And then you wake up to get ready to go to work. So you go to work and people come in a little bit later on, the patients, they're like, oh, my sugar is high, what do I do, and so on, and you know, that kind of stuff. Or they WhatsApp me, and I'll tell them, don't eat that, and don't drink that, you know? So, or take your insulin, and so on. And then afterwards, we just go back, because I'm in Abu Dhabi, so if I'm, either I travel back to Dubai, or stay in Abu Dhabi. And when I travel back to Dubai, then I try to help my sister who's doing the cooking, preparing and helping my mom and so on. So we can bring it to the mosque and neighbors and so on. And then it'll be like Maghrib prayer, iftar. Anyway, I don't watch TV.
Ever?
No, I don't. Yeah, I'm not really. But it's. I don't know why it's a tradition for people to watch TV around Ramadan. I don't think that's a good idea.
What do you think, Rashida? Because it does seem to be quite a big cultural focus of new series coming out. Yeah. Cinemas saving up, you know, like big blockbuster movies during Ramadan.
Which is I think it's a bad habit, frankly, if you think about it, because this is from 12 months in a year, you have this month and a special month. You should focus and you should
reflect.
And this is the time that you connect with your creator, and as well read Quran, read books during that time, read some of the history or geography, so at least you can enhance and at least you can build up your back, your memories and everything, which is you can talk to somebody from your family tomorrow, especially the new generation when they look at you as an elder. But I want to add something into also the normal routine. Also, we have to think about others who actually their jobs are not early mornings or the night shifts and everything.
Yeah, shift work.
So shift works, that's a different story for them, the timing of working and everything. However, think logically. The religion is merciful. If you look at it, even if you are sick or you're elderly or a child or a pregnant woman, you shouldn't even fast. You could always do it later on. And if you're traveling as well, and could you imagine someone of the questions I always get at the center, what about if you are fasting and you're a surgeon, you're going to save somebody? So of course, you could always fast later on, because if I'm doing 6 to 8 hours surgery,
yeah, that's true,
and I have to concentrate and I have to have full you know, mentally and everything,
yeah,
you know,
and physically. So, yeah.
So it's interesting you should say that. We have a question in from Dan saying, I mean no offense by my question, but I'd love to hear what your experts think about people in jobs like pilot, surgeon, etc. fasting. Is it just safe?
No, pilots don't. I don't think they fast because they're traveling.
It depends.
It depends if it's shorter distance.
Shorter flights or something like that.
But if they're like more than 8 hours or 12 hours, most of them don't fast. They try to fast, but
they have a good excuse as well. I mean, they got excuse that they can always fast.
Remember
later
that
on.
Pilots are checked. He is a pilot. So
no,
he's
no,
a pilot.
No, I was in the aviation.
Okay, well, you know the story about aviation. So, but they get strict, you know, regiment, and they get health checks that are way beyond the normal health checks for their fitness. So they're quite fit.
That's true.
And fasting actually doesn't make up. I mentioned it before, but not on air. Fasting actually doesn't cause problems, but it actually focuses, highlights if there's a problem in the body.
That's interesting. So it maybe necessarily exacerbate, but it focuses you.
It focuses. Yeah, exactly. So everything tones down.
You become more aware.
Yeah, exactly.
I've wrote a few things about the medical thing, if you want.
Go ahead. Yeah. I'll do the culture bit.
Yeah,
you guys swap.
Let's swap for a change, all right? Medical, it's actually for fasting, it's amazing because it improves blood fat level, lowers the cholesterol level by 8%, and protect from heart diseases. And not only that, reduce blood sugar levels, reduce blood pressure, rest our digestive system, which is, you could imagine, some people are eating all this junk and mixing and they
now
don't eat
we must
time.
Say this is if people are being sensible during Ramadan, because there are lots of people that perhaps don't do that.
Absolutely.
And kind of overeat. And we'll be talking later about the effects of digestion during that time. What do you normally break your fast with, Rashid?
Dates straight away. Three as a sunnah, I'll take 3 days.
What's the significance of the number three?
There's like number three. You have number, three,
it's a
number
magic
seven.
Number.
It's
just to remember that one.
We followed the sunnah of our Prophet Muhammad as well. And that's why we kept it with us and everything.
So apparently there are some studies, I don't know if they're really relevant, that, you know, taking, you know, the odd numbers, one, three, and five is better for your health than twos. I don't know.
Knows any more, let us know. Dr. Vahana Bin Luta is a consultant of internal medicine at Imperial College London Diabetes Centre in Abu Dhabi. She's an expert in medicine of the elderly and diabetes, obesity, disease prevention and public health awareness. And Rashid Al-Tamani joins us. He's a public relations manager and senior presenter at the Sheikh Mohammed Centre for Cultural Understanding. So we've got it all covered this afternoon. Some great questions already coming in. One here saying, may I ask what change the body will go through when we break our fast with big food intake suddenly? So Dr. Vahana, people in this part of the world are, from kind of, you know, in terms of hours, looking at around kind of 12 hours, really? No, a bit more.
No, 16
hours.
14 hours, 41 this year.
In Iceland, 21 hours this year.
I think some of them are exempt there.
I think so.
I think so.
Iceland, 21 hours. Finland and Greenland, about 19 hours. And then Chile is 10 hours and 33 minutes. So here we're looking, as you say, about 14, 16, depending. But then you have iftar, you break your fast. And as you said, Rashid, you have your 3 dates and then you ease yourself into eating.
Definitely.
Not everybody does this. Some people eat.
You can't. I think you can shock your body and your stomach, especially your digestive system, with a direct heavy meal. That's why we always, what we do is basically we take 3 dates and we drink water or leban, also as a yogurt, and take a break where we go and pray
that's
the
right.
Maghrib.
Yeah.
Then by that time, at least you already spend 15 to 20 minutes by the time you come back for the real meal. I think most of the houses, like our home, where we eat that, we do exactly the same. However, we leave the heavier meal for later. I rather eat a little bit of like some of the sambusas or the bakoras that we do, or some other stuff that like the soup, which is very good. And then later on, I will go for the real meal after a few hours.
After Taraweeh.
After Taraweeh,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
what happens during fasting?
How does our body
to our
work?
Body? Yeah, so after 8 hours of the last meal that we've had, the body, the liver, try to get rid of the sugar that it has. So starch that is there and the fat in the liver gets broken down and then goes to the bloodstream because we need that glucose, the sugar. So that so we don't feel tired. But just before iftar, so just before Maghrib prayer, our sugar actually drops, even if we don't have diabetes. So that's why it's really important we eat a simple carb. And the simplest carb is a date. So, and it won't shock the system. It's easy to digest, and it has simple sugar in it. So it has glucose, a bit of fructose, and it gives you that nourishment. So if someone, this is what normally happens. So you need to kind of ease into it because you've been fasting for like 14 hours. The stomach shrinks down. Everything, you know, tries to, and starts detoxing. After the third day, you'll start detoxing. right? You could get dehydrated. So it's very important that you have a meal before you start fasting.
And how much water would you recommend having within that 24-hour period?
As much as you can.
Yeah, but you start a little bit. Don't go.
Don't flood yourself.
You just take sips from iftar to suhoor, because you won't be able to, you know. Yeah.
Any questions coming in this afternoon for our experts, do get in touch. We've got a caller on the phone right now who's asking about fasting with diabetes. Sarah, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Hi.
Hi, Sarah. Thank you for joining us. How can we help you this afternoon? You need some advice?
I'm a type 1 diabetic. I've been diagnosed at the age of 22. And I've not fasted since I got diagnosed, just because my sugar control wasn't very good. I've now moved to the Middle East, and I've missed out on Ramadan all these years. I'd like to sort of start getting back into fasting, as I've read online that some people do fast. So I just wanted to ask, what is that possible, and how do I do it?
So Sarah, Ramadan Mubarak to you. First of all, how is Ramadan with you?
It's good. Alhamdulillah, it's really good. I'm enjoying it. It's just that everybody seems to be fasting and not me.
But you're exempt from it. You're exempt from it. So first of all, I just want to know, what's your sugar control?
It varies. So it's actually taken me, I was getting good while I lived in the UK, and then when I came to Dubai, it got a bit worse, I think, because I had children, I got busier. I think the heat, sometimes the my insulin absorption is a little bit different.
So what's your HbA1c?
Oh, it's not very good. I mean, tell us. I don't know. So I know it in.
It's all about numbers, baby. Just tell me the number.
So it's about 80, I think.
Okay.
60 to 80. Yeah, 60.
Yeah, it's
to
a bit
80,
high, isn't it?
Yeah. It's quite high. Yeah. So it's not good.
So there are categories for people who are able, we say, if they are able to fast or not in diabetes, mm-hmm. if type 1 or type 2. In type 1, who are requiring insulin because, the pancreas doesn't produce any insulin, they are exempt. They are absolutely exempt. Unless their sugar is well controlled, HbA1c of 7, which is about 40 something, it's very unlikely you will be able to fast safely, because you'll get a hypo, you'll get a hyper,
what does that mean,
sugar.
Dr. Fahana?
So this is what I said. So fasting doesn't cause the problem. It's whenever the body is. If the body's sugars is fluctuating, it will highlight it during fasting, and she'll feel really tired. But if you start on a pump and you know how to do carb counting, it'll be easier for you. So if there's a low sugar below 70 or like below 3 millimoles, or 1.5 or 2, it'll stop injecting insulin. Have you thought of pump?
My doctor says my control isn't good enough yet.
Well, maybe sometimes. Do you get a lot of low sugars?
Yeah, so for me, it's never really in the middle. It's either very low, it's very high. And that I think, is to do with my sort of lifestyle, where I'm just very busy running around. I'm not giving myself the time that I need to actually manage my diabetes properly.
Yeah, but, if you do you have the carb counter app?
Yeah, so I've got carbs and cal.
Yeah. Do you know how to do that?
Yeah.
It is very difficult.
When I first got diagnosed, I was very much on top of it. And both my pregnancies, I was, my doctors were applauding at how good I was at controlling
it. We always tell pregnant women who have diabetes to get pregnant again, because their sugar gets better. It's just like, please get pregnant again, because your sugar is better. it's crazy.
When I was pregnant, I definitely looked after myself a lot better, because it wasn't just me. It affected the baby. But now,
you have to look after yourself.
Yeah, so now it's just become bad. And I think, again, Ramadan is, like I said, my husband gets off for the
So just for the listeners, type 1s take 4 injections or 5 injections of insulin. So what are you taking? Mm-hmm. 4?
So I'm taking 4. So my 3 meals, and then I take my long-acting in the morning.
Okay,
actually.
So usually the body has, for people who don't know about diabetes, just naturally, someone who doesn't have diabetes, we have 2 types of insulin. Fast-acting insulin, it just goes up as we eat, and there's a basal, as in it works at the background. So that's what she's trying to mimic. So that's why we have these 4 injections. So how much, what's your sugar this morning?
This morning was 11. I woke up with an 11.
Oh, okay. That means you have to increase your evening dose. Yeah?
Yeah, I do.
All right.
At the moment, I take 22.
All right, so you need to take to up to 24. You're not allowed to fast. You're exempt. Don't feel guilty. You're fine. It's okay. Yeah, yeah.
There you go. Doctor's orders, Sarah. Doctor's orders.
I think I need to relax.
All right, okay. But
thank you for your question.
Thank you so much.
Take care, Sarah.
All right, bye-bye.
We're talking about Ramadan health as I'm joined by Dr. Farhana bin Luta. She is a consultant of internal medicine at Imperial College London and expert in medicine of the elderly, diabetes, obesity, disease prevention and public health awareness. She is your woman for any health related questions for the next half hour. So if you've got any concerns about fasting, sleep, exercise and staying safe during Ramadan, do get in touch. Also joined by Rashid Laltami. He's the senior presenter at the Sheikh Mohammed Center for Cultural Understanding. So if there's been something about Ramadan that you just really want to know, we can help. And we have had a call. Lena, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hi, Lena. You got in touch asking Dr. Farhana about palpitations. You had some palpitations after breaking your fast. Is that right? Can you tell us a little bit more?
Yeah, it just happened yesterday. I had a lot of random palpitations, and I wasn't doing any physical activity. I was just sitting, and it was there for the entire evening. And there was no pain. It's just that my heart was beating so fast and so hard. So I was wondering what went wrong, because I didn't have anything which was different and I don't have any other medical conditions. And today I'm back to normal. So can you please highlight on this?
Lena, Ramadan Mubarak, how are you?
Ramadan
Mubarak. Is that the first time that happened to you?
Unfortunately, no. Of late, I have noticed that I'm getting this now and then.
Okay, so is it associated with anything? Is it during walking or sleeping or lying down
It's absolutely random. Can happen when I'm tensed. Can happen when I'm just simply sitting. There's no particular trigger for this.
Can I ask about your health in general? Have you had your checkup or anything like that? Your weight?
Yeah, I had my regular yearly checkup and everything was fine, and my weight is 66.5.
Okay, all right. And anybody have thyroid problems in your family?
Yes, my sister has.
Okay, so have you checked your thyroid?
Yes, it was fine.
When did you check it?
Like 8 months ago.
All right, I think you're due another checkup, and just do a trace of your heart. Sometimes, you know, palpitations, if they don't cause any pain or dizziness or, as if you're going to, collapse, it can be just you're just aware they're extra beats, and they don't cause any problems. But what you need to do is just do a trace of your heart in an ECG, all right, over 24 hours to determine if this palpitation is a problem or it's just a variant. We don't notice when we breathe in and breathe out. But sometimes when we're tired, we try to think, oh, okay, I'm taking a deep breath now. So it's the rhythm has changed. So the rhythm changing of the heart is not a problem unless you feel dizzy and you can't, work or do anything. Still, you have to do your thyroid and do a 24-hour ECG. It can be also associated with type of food that you eat, even though you're like, I haven't changed anything. But if you eat quickly, it can cause a lot of palpitations as well. So, but my recommendation would be is I'm sure you'll be fine, inshallah. Just get your thyroid checked and your 24-hour ECG, and it sounds like it'll pass, inshallah. Right?
Inshallah.
Thank you.
Any questions, get in touch 4001 on the text line. Messages for free on the Dubai Eye Messenger app, or you're more than welcome to give us a call. Message here saying, I've been diagnosed with mild hydronephrosis.
Mild hydronephrosis.
Thank you.
Hydro, water, nephrosis, as in kidney.
Only doctors can pronounce.
It's just Latin. It's Latin. It's Latin.
I didn't do Latin.
You didn't
and
do Latin
And I'm
school.
Not a doctor. No.
Oh.
From the northeast. We don't do Latin in Newcastle.
Right. Fair enough.
Am I allowed
Geordie.
To fast? Says, last year I attempted to fast but had pain in my kidney. Thank you. What's your take? Exempt from fasting or not, doctor?
Not exempt. Not at all. Just drink plenty of water. Yeah, okay. I mean, but it depends. Anyway, if it's mild hydronephrosis, I mean, it just means they need to drink a lot of water. And of course, see the specialist, the urologist, see that it's not going to get any worse.
Okay, hope that helps. So in terms of people who are exempt, we've talked about type 1 diabetes there. Sarah saying she's desperate to fast, but it really isn't safe for some people with some types of diabetes. What about pregnancy?
They're exempt. Tell us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Rashid can tell us.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, you know, pregnancy, you don't have to fast. You can always do it later on if you have your weekly, I call it traffic week for the ladies.
We can say period, that's okay.
Well, okay.
You traffic can say that. Week, I've never heard that before.
you can do that.
It's a local term. Yeah.
It's a local term. Maybe it's an international term as well.
Let's take it international.
Yeah. So, pregnancy, a child, an elder person as well who's in medication, any person who's in medication, which is he cannot survive without his medication.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. So that's very important that everybody knows that.
When you say child, how old are most people when they start fasting? How old were you each when you started fasting?
Nine.
Frankly, yeah.
I was nine.
Nine.
For you, nine, right?
Yeah.
Okay. For me, it was like 10.
Even before that, we were like practicing, but nine.
Yeah.
So that's a good point in terms of practicing. What would you advise to a parent whose child wants to start fasting, or you want them to start fasting? How do you introduce the idea, and do you just kind of go straight into it, or is it a case of doing a couple of days or a couple of hours?
I think most of the children, if you notice, even especially the girls, there are some girls when we say, when is the time the girls wear their shela or the covering their head?
Yeah.
Usually we say in the age of puberty.
Yeah.
However, you will see some kids, they are 7 or 8, they are already with their hijab or with their shela. Why is it so? Because they see their grandmother, they see their sisters, they see their aunties, they see everybody.
They want to be like us.
They want to be like them because they are, you know. And also the kids, I still remember when we were younger, we usually the family teach you from when you're 7 and 10, they a little bit, you know, tell you, you know, try to do it. However, you can always do it later on, but still it's better to do it during that time. They would teach us okay, today try to fast, for example, but if you feel dehydrated or tired or something, drink water.
Yeah,
tell us, you know, and this is how we started, and then later on,
so it's gradual within a few hours. Okay, today you're gonna fast till midday, or today you're gonna fast afternoon. And then you just gradually increase. Oh, well done. You were able to fast out all day.
You get rewards. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. What's the reward?
Well, it depends. You know how.
Depends. We're not going to talk about bad choices.
No.
Yeah, exactly.
Good choices.
Well, on that topic, we had a question from Raj saying, it's my daughter's first time fasting this year and she's suffering from headaches. What can we do?
That's normal. That's normal. Even for an adult, frankly, everyone, for the first, imagine 12 months, you're not fasting and everything, as we said earlier. So when you come and fast, the first few days, and especially now, we are now in the middle of the real heat. I mean, the weather, as you can see.
So the first 3 days, headache is expected. But if it lasts more than that, that means that actually they're dehydrated.
Yes.
So this is the first thing is hydration. So what happens is maybe she has sinuses. They get blocked up because, because it's detoxing, right?
Absolutely.
And you need to drink a lot of water to get rid of that. So it's probably she's not drinking enough water.
It's hard to get kids to drink water at the best of times. So I would imagine just making sure.
You can put like lemon. You can put rose water. You can. There's so many ways now. Culinary delight. To increase your fluid
intake. For us, we use Vimto.
I am not going to say that word.
Vimto,
it's fascinating
cordial.
To me.
It's a cordial.
Cordial.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Message here from Robin saying, thank you for the insights. We're new to Dubai and have lots of questions about Ramadan, so thank you. And text saying, I would just like to say what a lovely personality the female doctor has, answering questions in such a reassuring and passionate way.
Oh,
love it.
Thank you.
Wow.
If you want to get your questions in,
I'm
do
chuffed.
Chuffed. Yeah. Love it. 4001. You can send us a message on the Dubai Eye Messenger app. A really quick one here, no name, saying, is using lip balm okay, and what about biting nails?
What do you think of that?
What do you
Rashid?
Think, Rashid?
Well, Ramadan Kareem, once again. This is what the effect of the fasting. It's normal as long as you don't swallow it, as long as it doesn't go at the back of your throat. So it's okay. We shouldn't actually bite your nail. Think logically.
I know, but it's habitual.
As long as you don't eat it, that's okay. The most important.
Never know what people do. Yeah. What about things like brushing teeth and using mouthwash? Things that do go into your mouth as part of hygiene.
No, I wouldn't advise to goggle or mouthwash. I would go. Brushing your teeth in a way that doesn't
go to the back of the throat, so it doesn't by accident
Though I'm fasting, I brush, but I tilt my head towards down a little bit, so at least the water goes down and not much, and that's it.
Okay, message here asking, what about water if you're doing sport for teenagers? So exercising during the day and teenagers perhaps getting dehydrated.
Can I answer that? Fasting, it's from sunrise to sunset where we don't have to put anything in our mouth at all. Water, anything. If you're exercising and anything, you have to... Everything is balanced. I mean, most of the clubs in the UAE as well, they have after the iftar, after the prayer, that's the time where they start their evening training.
Still, it depends on their health and what the doctor knows about their health, so, and their body. So how much water is in their body, as in healthy water, not water retention, what we're talking about. So how well hydrated they are. So if they hydrate themselves from iftar to suhoor, it shouldn't be a problem for them to exercise. But me, it's really hot, so they try to go to a cooler, times doing exercise. And I see a lot of guys actually walking around the al-mamsha.
Yeah,
and
Khawani, especially before, just before breaking the iftar.
That's the most you will burn.
Yes.
Really?
That is the most.
That's the time.
Yes, but it doesn't mean you do it. Aha. Uh-huh. Because it depends on your health. Because some people might drop their sugar. All right, so you have to know your body.
I would advise you to try it at least once.
We are joined by two fantastic experts. Dr. Farhana bin Luther is here. She's consultant of the internal medicine at Imperial College London Diabetes Centre, that's in Abu Dhabi, and she's an expert in medicine of the elderly and diabetics, obesity, disease prevention, and public health awareness. And Rashid Al-Tamani also joins us, senior presenter at the Sheikh Mohammed Centre for Cultural Understanding. Nice message here from Sarah, who called in earlier wanting to fast, saying, had to go, thank you so much for the reassurance. There isn't actually much I can do. Maybe I just need to look after my sugar levels better so I can go on to pump and then be able to fast.
She'll be fine. Al-ajr, the blessings are still there. It's counted. So she shouldn't feel like she hasn't done what as a Muslim. It's fine. So she needs to just relax about that. She's exempt.
I think her point was in the UK, she wasn't surrounded by people who were fasting, whereas she's come to the Middle East now and... It's a bigger part of life.
It should be easier for her because she has so many options to ask to, and
yeah, and
so
people
many
will tell her. They will tell her you're not allowed to fast. That's fine.
You mentioned earlier about if you're breastfeeding or pregnant that you can fast at a different time. How does that work in terms of how do you choose the time? When do you know is the best time to
whenever
be fasting?
Whenever we can.
Yeah.
Yeah, whenever we can. So some women after they finish the breastfeeding start like. Fasting.
They time it. They know their timing. Just like yourself, an individual who has their own. So they will time it.
It's a personal thing.
Yeah.
A question here, no name on this one, saying, I need to have some blood tests done next week, testing for thyroid function. Is it safe to have blood tests done if I'm fasting?
Yes, it is. And it doesn't break your fast.
About it. If you go to any hospital, if you go any, blood test, they'll tell you
12 hours.
11
eat.
Hours or 12 yep. hours. Fast before. Don't eat anything.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
And a question asking to be anonymous, saying, I have friends who are fasting, in quotes, as it says, I am too, but they just seem to switch their schedules. So they sleep all day and eat all night. I feel this defeats the purpose. What do your guests think?
Well, I mean... To each their own. I mean, that's not the purpose of fasting,
absolutely,
to be honest.
Absolutely. I agree with you, Doctora Farhana. Fasting, I told you, as we said earlier, one of the best months of the whole year for us as Muslims, where we're supposed to have more time to connect. That's why we have extra prayers during that time. I mean,
yes.
Think we have the, after breaking the fast, you know, we pray Maghrib, then we have prayed the evening prayer, Isha, then we have
Taraweeh.
The Taraweeh, and let's not forget the last 10 days of Ramadan. It's one of the best for us, and that's why you see a lot of us who travel to do their Umrah in Saudi Arabia, so we can get more reward or the, you know, from God. So what happens here if somebody just sleep all day and everything and they don't read Quran,
they miss
practice?
Out they miss out on the blessings and the spirituality and the, you know, the
not
society
doing it with our
yeah
soul.
That's, yeah,
frankly, that's not fasting.
It's not fasting is not
we,
just
we don't
about
even
not
have to
eating
be,
and not drinking.
Religious scholars, that's not fasting,
and it's not discipline.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's so easy. You can sleep all during the day and wake up during the night. I mean, come on.
Well, here's a question that I'm interested to get your take on. Saying, do you think food outlets should be closed during the day throughout Ramadan?
Wow, that's so political. But
I know,
you
know, that's why I want
I
to get
it
your
to
answer.
A culture person.
Well, yes, cultural side, I tell you, you know, United Arab Emirates, especially if you think Dubai, we are the most populated expatriate in the whole Middle East, actually. Not only that, we have to balance it. And we come from a very good, great leaders. And this year is the year of our father, Sheikh Zayed bin Sultan Al Nahyan, and followed by the rulers now. And of course, the Prime Minister of Dubai, Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid. And this country, when opened up their arms for everybody, this has been built in our veins, hospitality, respect, get to know each other. So when we open up the country as well, there has to be a balance in a way.
Exactly.
Where you have to be as well, we always advise, even in our speeches or our presentation, when they come and ask us, can we wear short and walk in Ramadan? Can we eat? I mean, think logically. You are very lucky. If you came here 10 years, 15 years, everything's closed. Until you have to cook at home, especially if you are expatriate, where now everything's open. However, home deliveries or they have, you know, the takeaways.
Yeah.
And not only that as well. I mean, think that you're not supposed to eat in front of people. You're not to smoke in front of people during this month, because this is the month of Islam and you're in a Muslim country. I would respect any country that I go to. I will follow the rules. So why don't you follow the rules here?
I preferred the years before when we didn't have everything open.
Absolutely.
Because
was that out of respect or is it a temptation thing?
No,
doctor?
That's respect and temptation. But for me, what I mean, it's important because
absolutely.
It's important that we cook at home. Why do we have to get stuff from outside? And that is the cause of many problems because you don't know what's in there.
Well, that also calls back to the point of food wastage here, which is a huge problem. And a lot of people going to huge hotels for huge buffets.
Yes.
And food not being eaten. Whereas, do you tend to have to break your fast and have iftar at home with your families rather than going out? Or
I don't like going out. So,
yeah,
but sometimes we have to because, you know, they don't have, like, you know, they want to
change.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Change.
It's
or they want to be hospitable. They're from
absolutely
a different culture and they're like, they want to be hospitable to you.
Right.
So they invite different multicultural kind of people. So that's why they would go to a tent.
Absolutely.
Or, yeah,
absolutely. They can try something else. However, I just want to add to what you said earlier and to Dr. Farhana.
There is an initiative, I think. Right?
I mean, yeah, it's good
it's
to eat
bank,
at home.
Yeah.
We love to eat at home. That's the whole thing. And think about it. Now with all this new generation and the new gadgets and everything that keeps us away from our families and everything. So when we have time and we get invited by the family or we cook at home, always remember that in our homes, we always cook extra. For example, if we are 5 members of family,
yeah,
we cook for 10.
Yeah.
And we cook always 2 different dishes or the most during Ramadan. That's the time where I love my grandmother, my late grandmother cooking or my mother and everything, because you can see a lot of dishes. And of course, where we can gather together as a family and bond and we can enjoy our food and update ourselves. We are very lucky that I'm part of a center, which is Sheikh Mohammed bin Ras's Center for Cultural Understanding, where we provide iftar experience with an Emirati
or
a Muslim.
So you can
anytime, please. This is the place where you can come for anywhere from the UAE. And I have so many guests from Saudi Arabia who doesn't get the chance there. They come here as well so they can get to know about the culture and eat and break the fast with the date and water with the adhan. And not only that, we will pray live prayer maghrib front of them so they can see what we do at home exactly. Then we're gonna feast with the right amount of food. Then we take them to the mosque as
It's an experience. So how we learn is by observation. So first you'll observe. So they're observing what's going on, the prayer and this, and then you'll get to know what's going on, and then integrate and interact.
Where can we find you, Rashid Tamim? Where can we come and find you, meet you, and enjoy iftar?
Sheikh Mohammed bin Ras Center for Cultural Understanding, SMCCU Dubai. You can find us on Facebook, all kind of social media, especially Instagram as well, and of course cultures.ae.
And where in town are you?
We are Al Fahidi, a historical area next to the Royal Roller Court. And we are there the whole week. Only on Friday we are off.
Okay, we will come down for sure.
Please, we are open for all.
Is there parking there?
There is parking.
Very difficult to get parking there.
We already this year have provided valet parking.
Now you're talking.
Your car, take the cart, we'll stamp it when you finish.
That's
all your experience. Yep. Sold.
Rashid Alam, thank you so much for joining us. And Dr. Farhana Bidluta, any final words for anyone fasting this Ramadan to stay safe and healthy?
Okay, first of all, check with your doctor if you have any illnesses or anything like that. Just be mindful, you know, your body is actually telling you what is wrong with it, what is good with it. So just be mindful of that and enjoy it with your family.
Thank you so much. Both really, really appreciate it. Have a blessed and happy Ramadan.
You too.
Thank you.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.